You guys ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
You guys ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
I just like to hear enthusiasm. So the world around us is broken. The world around us is broken. And the only way that it can be fixed is through Jesus and His truth and His love. Now that's not a new observation. That was not unknown to you before I said it. And yet it still is true and it's worthy of contemplating. The world around us is broken. And while that may not be new, here's something that probably is new to you. I want to start this morning by sharing with you a phrase. It is a Hebrew phrase, but I want you to see it as well as hearing it. So this is the Hebrew phrase. It is tikkun olam. Tikkun olam. And it means fixing a broken world. Tikkun olam. Fixing a broken world. Now for the Jews, because again, this is Hebrew. For the Jews, this is really speaking, or it's tied to the idea of an individual himself doing things to improve the world around him. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we understand, we know that it's not so much, it's less about what we can do and more about what Jesus Himself can do through us. Because He's given us His authority and He's given us His power to change the world that is around us. Just by living our lives for Him, to change the world that is around us. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. I don't think we fully realize every place that we go, every place that we walk, understand who you are with boldness and confidence, and know that where you walk today, know that where you walk tomorrow, go with that boldness of Jesus Christ and know that you are claiming that space, that area, those around you, claiming that for Jesus so that He can move through you in powerful ways. We need to be aware of the season and the time that we are in. Now, we know that this can be a difficult time. And even though it's a difficult time, and even though it might be a season of difficulty and struggle, it is also a season that we need to see. It's also a season where repairs have already begun to take place. Just look at the last month. You know, how many in our campuses, our college campuses and our university campuses, how many revivals have we begun to see pop up just in our nation? And there's other revivals that are talked about in other countries as well. We're beginning to see, we've been praying for revival and saying that it's coming. And we're beginning to see the very birth of those things taking place. So while it's a difficult season that we're in, we are seeing that the repairs are being made already. Those have already begun. So I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us to do our part. I want to challenge us to help repair this broken world as believers in Jesus Christ. And I want to do this. I want to challenge us in doing this with an example that comes from an individual in the Bible who's really a little known individual. His name is Obed-Edom. Anybody know Obed-Edom? Obed-Edom, he was a contemporary of King David. And he's probably best known for the fact that the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, stayed in his house for 3 months before it made its way into the city of Jerusalem. The presence of God was in his house for 3 months. Now, Obed-Edom came to my attention just recently because I was reading through the book of 1 Chronicles. And in that account of 1 Chronicles, we read that the Ark of the Covenant came into the house of Obed-Edom, and Obed-Edom and everyone that was in his household was abundantly blessed for the 3 months that it was there. And this moved, upon seeing this, David's heart was moved to bring the Ark of the Covenant into its home in Jerusalem. Now, as I read through the next couple chapters in 1 Chronicles, I was kind of surprised to see that the name Obed-Edom kept repeating. I kept seeing it in other places. And it was always brought up. Obed-Edom's name was always associated with an opportunity to serve God. Every time it came up, he was being honored with an opportunity to serve God in different ways. Honor and blessing followed Obed-Edom page after page. That gets my attention. So here's the background. Here's what led up to Obed-Edom being a man who was blessed, who helped strengthen King David, and who blessed the entire nation of Israel as he served God. Remember, before this, David had already attempted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. But en route of bringing it to Jerusalem, that's when Uzzah reached out to steady the Ark of the Covenant, steady it as the oxen stumbled. And in touching it, Uzzah died. And then we read this. This is from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. So David would not move the Ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. David was shaken. When he saw Uzzah died, David was shaken. In fact, there's another verse in the Bible that says that David was angry and offended at God for what he had done. So David was afraid to move the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David. And so he sends it to the house of Obed-Edom. Now imagine if you're Obed-Edom. Here is David, the king of Israel. David, the man after God's own heart. And he's saying, I'm not really comfortable dealing with the presence of God. I'm going to send him to your house. You take care of it for 3 months. But Obed-Edom, he welcomed the presence of God in his household. And through this, David saw, he learned that the blessing of God was on Obed-Edom and on his entire household all the time that it was there. He learned that. This is what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 12. Now it was told to King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went, and he brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. David had to learn, and he has learned, he had to learn that he was supposed to move the Ark of the Covenant in obedience to God's instructions. And he was to do it with proper reverence to God. And then when David gets ready to move the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, Obed-Edom is assigned the honor of being part of the assembly that brings the Ark of the Covenant into the city of God, into the city of David, into Jerusalem. He gets honored with that. Bear with me as I read these names. So this is from 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 24. The story is accounted in both 1 Chronicles as well as in 2 Samuel. Shebaniah, Josaphat, Nathaniel, Amasai, Zechariah, Benaiah, Eliezer, the priests. They were to blow the trumpet before the Ark of God, and Obed-Edom and Jehiah, doorkeepers for the Ark. So as they're getting ready to move, we have this great parade, this great procession of people who are bringing the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, into Jerusalem. And there are two doorkeepers that are part of this procession, two doorkeepers for the Ark of the Covenant as it travels. So picture it this way. This means that in this parade of people, Obed-Edom and Jehiah, they have the honor of being directly in front of and directly behind the presence of God. This is as if God is saying, "This is who I want to be close to me." See, Obed-Edom said, "I desire the presence, I welcome the presence of the Lord in my house." And now here's God saying, "I welcome, I want Obed-Edom here, closest to me." That's the heart that he, if we will open up our hearts and welcome. Listen, the Holy Spirit is already in us. His presence is already in us. It's in our spirit. But we have to be the ones that welcome him into our soul and into our minds, our thoughts, and our everyday process. And when we say, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, you are in us. We welcome you through all of us. Jesus is saying, this is the one that I want to be closest to me. This is the picture that we get from Obed-Edom. This is the doorkeeper. This is the advantage of being the doorkeeper. And we're going to learn more about doorkeeper and gatekeeper next week because it really is important to see what that role is. But then in the next chapter of 1 Chronicles, we see that David brings the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. He brings it into the tent that David prepared for the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. He brings it in, and then David assigns Levites to commemorate, to thank, and to praise God for his presence coming in to Jerusalem. Guess who is honored to play an instrument in this marvelous, this is a singular moment of praise and worship for the people of Israel, for the nation of Israel with their God. And in this singular moment of praise and worship, Obed-Edom is honored with playing an instrument with Asaph as they bring the presence of God into Jerusalem. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. And he appointed sons of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, then Jehiel, Shemiramoth, that one was, I have to slow and think about. Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, Jehiel with stringed instruments and harps, but Asaph with music on cymbals. Just getting through those names is enough to take us off of focus. But you can see that once this time, once these events, so there is great joy and celebration. Obed-Edom gets the honor of helping to bring the Ark of the Covenant in. In fact, he's right there in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And then Obed-Edom, as they have this great celebration, because now the presence of God is in Jerusalem, and during that great celebration, Obed-Edom is one who is playing the instruments right there with Asaph, part of that celebration. And then after the events of celebration and worship are done, and the Ark of the Covenant is at home in Jerusalem, then David sets up so that there would be continual, there would be ongoing worship that would take place there at the tent with the Ark of the Covenant in it. And guess who gets to be honored once again? He gets, why all this honor on Obed-Edom? It's because he welcomes the presence of the Lord into his house. All of these blessings simply because he welcomed the presence of the Lord. So this is what it says in 1 Chronicles 16, 37 through 39. So he left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister before the Ark regularly, as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom, with his 68 brethren, including Obed-Edom, the son of Jethutam, and Hosea, had to be the gatekeepers. And Zadok the priest and his brethren, the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord and the high places that was at Gibeon. So the reason I wanted to read through all that, and I want you to hear that, because I want you to see the honor that is truly given to Obed-Edom in this. Because when you think about the Ark of the Covenant, truly, there's three main responsibilities concerning the Ark of the Covenant. The first is the music and the worship that surrounds the Ark of the Covenant. Asaph is over the music. The second is all the duties of the priests that must be done according to how God has instructed. This is done by Zadok, the priest. He's over all the duties of the priest. The third is the gatekeepers of the Ark of the Covenant. Obed-Edom is permanently, he is given the honor of being the head of the ministry of the gatekeepers. This is an honor that God has given to Obed-Edom. Again, I emphasize, simply because he welcomes the presence of the Lord into his house. All these honors are bestowed upon him. Now let's move forward 20 years. 20 years goes by. David is making preparations for the temple of the Lord that his son Solomon is going to build. And as the assignments are being given for the rotation of the gatekeepers, it is the sons and the grandsons of Obed-Edom that are mentioned prominently. 1 Chronicles 26, verse number 8. All of these were the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men with strength for the work, 62 of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom's blessings continued well beyond the 3 months that the Ark of the Covenant was in his house. Amen. It went well beyond the 3 months that the presence of God was in his house. Obed-Edom was blessed in all things. And we even see that his children and his grandchildren, they are mentioned as able and strong men of God. So even Obed-Edom's sons and grandsons have proven themselves to be worthy heirs to their father and grandfather, Obed-Edom, who welcomes the presence of the Lord into his house. It's because he welcomes the presence of the Lord into his house, that Obed-Edom was blessed in all things through his life. Amen. And he was positioned in a place of honor before God again and again and again. And the favor and the blessing of God spilled out from Obed-Edom, and it touched his household, his friends, and all of those who were around him. This is our goal. This is the way we should be living our lives. This is our goal. So how do we position ourselves to be blessed and to be a blessing to others as Obed-Edom was? Well, let's go back and let's look again at the events that led to the Ark of the Covenant coming into the house of Obed-Edom. And remember, this all took place because Uzzah reached up and touched the Ark of the Covenant and died. And it shook David. It shook David. And now watch David's reaction to God. This is in, I have to see what page I'm on. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 8. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of that place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was angry at God. David is angry at God, even though David is the one who is at fault. It's David who did not obey the instructions that God gave on how to handle the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. And these are very clear and very specific instructions. We looked at this a number of months ago when we were talking about the Kohathites. This is what it says in Numbers chapter 4, verse number 15. This is how specific God was. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary, so the priests were in charge of when they were taking down the tabernacle so that the tabernacle would move in the wilderness. The priests were in charge of taking everything down from the tabernacle and covering those holy things. And all the furnishings of the sanctuary when the camp is set to go. Then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. They were given the honor and the assignment of carrying these things, but even they cannot touch it lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath were to carry. And then it mentions the things that the sons of Kohath were to carry. David was angry at God. But his anger gave way to fear and desperation. Because all of a sudden David realizes he does not know how he can bring the tabernacle, how he can bring the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, into Jerusalem. This is one of the few moments. We get a rare glimpse into one of those weak moments in David's life. We're seeing David at a moment when David is afraid of the presence of God. He's usually seeking. He usually sought out the presence of God. But now here's David, fearful of the presence of God, so he sends the presence of God away to the house of Obed-Edom. I'm going to read this again. Part of this we've read, but I want this to be in our minds. 2 Samuel 6, 9 through 11. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him to the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. So David was angry with God. And watch this. David is angry with God. That led to David having an irreverent fear. And that's an important word, irreverent. He was angry with God, and his anger led to an irreverent fear of God. And that resulted in David removing himself from the presence of God. David had an anger against God. That anger led to irreverent fear of God, which resulted in David removing himself from the presence of God. So David's irreverent fear of God resulted in him being moved out of the place of blessing. Yeah. And he actually gave that position of blessing to another. He was moved out of the position of the blessing, and that position of blessing went to the one who was willing, who welcomed the presence of the Lord. He welcomed the presence of the Lord. So what about you and I? Think about the times. When have you been frustrated with the Lord? You know, when have you been angry with the Lord because of events or things that take place or happen in your life? I'm talking about those times that you say, "Well, this isn't fair, God. Why did this happen to me, God?" That anger leads to fear. And not a reverent fear. A reverent fear of God is a fear. A reverent fear of God is an awe. It's expressed in an awe of the grace, mercy, and the love of God. This is a reverent fear of God. We see this in Psalm 103, verse number, I don't know where this is. Oh, there it is. Psalm 103, verse number 11. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great are his mercy and loving kindness towards those who reverently and worshipfully fear him." A reverent fear. When we reverently worship him, when we have that reverent fear of worship for him, we embrace, we receive all that grace and that loving mercy. But what we're talking about with David and what we sometimes fall into, this is not talking about a reverent. This is talking about an irreverent fear. And the irreverent fear looks very much like the very first fear that we read about in the Bible. It's the exact same fear that we read about when Adam sinned in the garden. Listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 3. And tell me how striking this sounds. "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" This is irreverent fear of God. The fear that Adam to hide himself from the presence of God is the same fear that David had, knowing that he had disobeyed God's commands and instructions concerning how to handle the Ark of the Covenant, how to handle the very presence of God. How do we handle the presence of God? Because the Holy Spirit is in us. How are we handling the presence of God? His presence is in our spirit all the time. We'd have to make sure that we welcome him. Because we're either welcoming him into our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our day, or we're blocking him off and keeping him. Keep him in the spirit. Glad you're there, but stay there. Not a part of my life. How do we handle the presence of the Holy Spirit? How do we handle His presence as we move through all the days of our life? Like Adam, David hid from the presence of God. He hid from the presence of God, and he sent the presence of God away from him to the house of Obed-Edom. We need to make sure we do not send the presence of God away from us. We need to make sure that we learn the lessons that we see from David. Make sure that we don't send the presence of God away from us. There's two kinds of fear that we see being expressed in this account of David, Obed-Edom, and the Ark of the Covenant. David's fear, irreverent, led to a separation from the presence of God. But Obed-Edom, his fear, a reverence for God, his fear resulted in a heart that welcomed the presence of God into his house, and he walked in those blessings the rest of his life, and those blessings touched others as well. Now, what's really cool is we see that exact same, we see those exact same two types of fear demonstrated in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when the disciples are with Jesus in the boat and the storm comes up. Watch this and see if this doesn't sound familiar. Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 41. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The disciples' first fear was a result of looking at the storm that was taking place around them. Their first fear was a result of looking at the storm, and that is exactly what David did as well. Now, that word that we see there is fearful. That word comes from a Greek word which means cowardly. It also means to be driven by fear to the point of making bad decisions. Which again is exactly what David did. That was the first fear that we see with the disciples in the boat. The disciples' second fear, that comes after Jesus had rebuked the storm and all was calm. And the Bible says they feared exceedingly. That word fear comes from an entirely different Greek word. That word means one who is awestruck with reverence for God. And that is Obed-Edom. And that is what positioned him to be blessed. Obed-Edom positioned himself to be blessed and to be a blessing. Because Obed-Edom, he had no fear at all of bringing the Ark of the Covenant into his household, even though Uzzah had just died. It's because Obed-Edom, he feared God with a reverent awe, so he had nothing to fear from God. He just wound up having a heart that desired to be in the presence of God. Now, that's really expressed to us clearly in Psalm 25. This is Psalm 25. I'm going to read this to you in the Amplified Bible, verses 12 through 14. Who is the man who reverently fears and worships the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. He himself shall dwell at ease. That word, ease, if you read that in the New King James Bible, that word is prosperity. So it's talking about the blessings of the Lord. See how much this is sounding like exactly what happened to Obed-Edom. He himself shall dwell at ease, prosperity, and his offspring shall inherit the land. Again, this sounds just like Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom, He had that reverent worship for God that welcomed the presence of God, and he was blessed himself. And as we saw, his children's children were blessed as well. It goes on and gets even better. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them his deep inner meaning. Obed-Edom reveals to us the secret of sweet, satisfying companionship with Jesus. It comes from welcoming his presence into this house with reverent fear and worship. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you greater revelations, greater insights, greater understanding of the even more blessings that are part of your covenant blessings in Jesus. As we welcome him here into this house, the Holy Spirit will show you more of your covenant blessings. And he will show you how to walk into that deeper and more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. See, we've been talking for more than a year about how to press into the throne room of God. Here's one of the ways. Here's one of the keys for us. Welcome. The Holy Spirit is already, his presence is already in your spirit. Now, make sure that every day we get up and we begin the day by welcoming the Holy Spirit, his presence into our soul, our mind, our thoughts, to our very beings as we go into the day. Oh, that is good. So we started today looking at that Hebrew term, tikkun olam. Tikkun olam, which means fixing a broken world. And we saw that we're already seeing evidence of how the world, the repair of the world, which must come through Jesus Christ, his truth, his word, and his love, is already beginning to take place as we see these revivals starting to sprout up all across the nation. But here is a key that we get, a key lesson that we get from Obed-Edom. You don't have to go somewhere else. You don't have to go somewhere else to find the presence of God. Because the presence of God is already here. Now listen, if you want to get in the car and travel and go experience and be a part of a revival, awesome, go, be a part of it. But first, like Obed-Edom, first, welcome the presence of the Lord here in this house. Because when you welcome the presence of the Lord here in this house, this is where revival begins, and then it's poured out from here onto others. And then we see exactly what happened with Obed-Edom. The rest of the world, they see the blessings, they see the favor of Jesus Christ being poured out upon you, upon all that you have, upon your household, your family, your friends, and your children, and your children's children. And then they will want, they will desire, they will hunger for the presence of the Lord in their lives as well. Now let me close this whole thing by looking at that word olam. It's tikkun olam. And we saw that it means fixing a broken world. So olam has come to mean world. But this is what the word in Hebrew, the word olam, this is what it originally meant. Originally, it meant all of time. Fixing a broken world is part of fixing all of time. We are rushing towards the end of an age, church. We're rushing towards the end of the church age. And we get the honor to be used, if we're willing, if we will welcome his presence, we get the honor of being used in this age to fix, help fix and repair the damage that has been done in the past, and even the damage that is being done now, as we dwell with him in his presence by welcoming his presence here so that we can dwell with him in his presence. No different than what we saw with Obed-Edom, when Obed-Edom welcomed the presence of God into his house, and then as God's presence is moving to its home, Obed-Edom is the one that God said, this is the one that I want closest to me. That's the honor that we have. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have so much that you can show us just from the life of one man, Obed-Edom. And we see how relevant his life and how he lived his life is for us today, so that we can be impactful for you on a daily basis. We realize and we are not just put on this earth to live out these lives, just bide our time until these lives come to an end and with you eternally. We know that you have put us here. You have given us your authority, your power, your anointing to do what you have commissioned us to do. We know that every day is an opportunity to serve you and represent you. And so we take the step. We take the step of every day welcoming you, welcoming your presence. You're in us and we're thankful for it. But we welcome your presence, Holy Spirit, into our very souls, our personality, our thoughts, our minds, our will. We welcome you into the unique creation that you have made in each one of us, the unique eternal creation of each one of us. And we do this to honor and glorify you. We thank you and praise you for this and for continuing to open up our eyes with revelation to understand these things and to see our place in it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's get up and praise and worship. Let him know how much you worship him. Let him know that you are welcoming his presence into these houses today.